Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships.
Hello, and welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation about love, life, and relationships. I'm Benita.
And I'm Ellis.
And we are excited to be back. Thank you so much to those who listened to our previous episodes. We love the feedback. So today I did set up a Facebook page. So baby steps. I've been doing it for like all 3 weeks. But baby steps, I'm getting there. I have a goal to set up an Instagram page today. But go out there and like us. It's called Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Like us and send your comments and get other people to like us. And we're going to use that page to update you, not just on new episodes, but also on events and stuff that we have coming up. So you doing good, bro?
I am making it. Yes, right. I'm doing good.
We're here.
We're going to have a serious conversation about what love is and what love is not. Mm. And this comes out of a situation that I've been brought to my attention. And I realize oftentimes in relationship, we don't know what love is and we don't know what love does. And so for the sake of our conversation, I want to read this scripture out of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So with that being said, I began to wonder, like, how many relationships have I been in and they were not the epitome of love? Because if love is unconditional, should not the love be able to cover all the mistakes and indiscretions and mishaps in a relationship?
I think it should be. And as you read that, you know, I'm always self-reflecting, as I think we should. And I'm thinking of the times that I haven't represented love.
Right.
You know, some of those things, right. I'm not envious or boastful. But I ain't always patient, and sometimes I do insist on it being my way.
Uh-huh.
You know, and but not, love never ends.
And me being reflective as well, I've learned that my love has not been patient. It has been rude.
What?
It has not been kind.
Say that.
And it has insisted on its own way. It has been irritable and resentful.
You sound kind of irritated right now.
You know what I'm saying? For real, for real. It, you know, it did rejoice in wrongdoing.
It was petty.
It did not bear all things. It did not. Listen, I realized I ain't know what love was. I was just a messy, loving, you know, self-centered, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but that ain't love.
Just a mess.
I was a mess. That's my confession. I'm going to say it once. I ain't going to say it no more.
All right, so we were talking about, before we signed in or logged in, we were talking about a scenario. So you want to talk about a scenario?
Well, a scenario is that, you know, a wife looked into husband's phone, side conversation that, you know, he has had, and, you know, decided to end the marriage. And I began thinking, like, that ain't love.
It's not love if he ends the marriage? I mean, if she ends, well, the marriage ended. So you're saying it's not love because what she saw in the phone was evidently it was something that she felt violated the trust.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I've gone through this scenario numerous times, not only with myself, but, you know, with other marriages, male or female. And so what I'm wondering is, like, you know, we're saying that we love a person. Is there a condition to that? So I'm going to love you as long as you don't violate me. I'm going to love you as long as you do what I need you to do. I'm not speaking about physical abuse. I'm not speaking about that. But I'm talking about speaking from a standpoint that's, how deep is love? How broad is love? And when does love become unconditional? Because we know who we are with. We know their tendencies. We know what we like about them. We know. I mean, women are brilliant. They know when a man is not feeling valued or appreciated, and vice versa. So I'm just wondering, when we talk about love, are we speaking about love from an unconditional, like I'm gonna love you no matter what, or is there some conditions?
I think we want to believe as humans that we're gonna love no matter what. But the human side of us, you know, we're imperfect, of course, but some things, it's just hard. Like, we set expectations of our mates. And so when those expectations are not achieved or met, you know, we kind of like, eh. And you might still love them, but not enough to stay in this.
Right.
You know, I think I shared before, I still, most of the people that I've been in relationships with, I still love them. The love just shifted. You know, I don't love you in that romantic way or that way that I trust you, you know, as I need to trust my mate to do whatever I need him to do. I don't trust that anymore, but I still love you. And if you need some water, I'm going to give you a sip.
So when, in that scenario, when you get to a place where you're fed up and you're done, something had to happen prior to that. It's not like this is one incident. Something else has had to have happened.
I think it goes back to, again, like, say, for instance, if my requirement is, well, one of the things I don't want to say required, an expectation that I have is that you keep me safe. And, you know, and safe is a big word. It could be physical, you know, it could be a lot of things. But you were out there and you were cheating. I might never be mad at the cheating, but in that, you gave me a STD. Mm. You didn't keep me safe.
Right.
You know, and so if my expectation is safety, that's dead.
Correct. Now, is that, was that discussed prior to the situation happening? Because I think oftentimes in relationships, we don't say, hey, if you do X, Y, and Z, I'm done. You know, if if you hit me, I'm done. If you cheat on me, I'm done. If you lie to me, I'm done. But we don't go into relationships letting the other person know where our limitations lie. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about, you know, this is when my love takes a left and I'm exiting out of the door. Like I was talking to my son and I said, you know, when I sense that someone is not loyal to me and I can always sense it, then I begin to become disloyal. And just as subtle as they're doing it, I do it just as subtly. And because to me, loyalty means everything.
Okay, so if they're not being loyal, why don't, and that's a big thing to you.
Yes.
Why don't you just end it? Because they've already violated. You know, there's no point in you, I don't understand why you go out and be disloyal when you already know you can't stay in this.
Well, I think that this is where the foolish aspect of love is. We think a person is going to change.
I do. I always say.
And you always, you believe the best of them.
Yes. Because right? You see that potential and you be thinking, oh, I can get him to do this. You know, he going to do this for me. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him so much. I'm going to be so affectionate and so sweet.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be that person that he can't live without. And because of that, he's going to change for me.
You know, I think Black women, preference Black women in particular, have been reared with that mindset. Now, one thing I realized that I'm not just raising my sons, I'm raising potential husbands and fathers. And with that comes a level of communication and honesty with them of what is expected of them, that you just can't always be a spoiled son. And so I think oftentimes Black women, when they're dating Black men, they keep them, you know, they're dating a son and not dating a man.
So that's why we're so okay.
And not saying you're not supposed to be nurturing or don't be nurturing.
I was going to say, because if we're nurturing, we're just extending that nurturing to this person.
Well, I think the mothers do a great job of loving their sons, and they kind of transition that same nurturing characteristics onto their, you know, their fathers or husbands, whomever else. But it's important that we are raising our daughters to be wives and to be mothers, and also raising our sons to be fathers and husbands. So that when they get into a relationship, they know what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, they know when someone says that they love you, this is what you must attempt to abide by, because someone is giving you their love and they ain't your mama.
Right.
Like, your mama is going to love you no matter what, but I ain't, as I was told once before. Like, I ain't your mama. I ain't going to love you no matter what.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, ooh. Then I can't deal with you then. Because I want to be loved unconditionally. Mm-hmm. Because a mother's love, or a father's love, is a byproduct of God's love. It's unconditional. I'm going to love you in spite of. So if we're not entering into relationships or loving relationships from an unconditional standpoint, then why even enter into the relationships in the first place?
Right.
And we have to have these kind of conversations ongoing when things change in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
But we don't do that. Because, you know, in any relationship, we outgrow one another. But there has to be somewhere where the other person slows up, or you recognize there's a gap taking place. We're not talking, there's distance, and we need to get back on track.
I had said one time, I was talking to some women, and we were kind of talking about when we go through a change. And I'm not talking about, you know, the, what you call it thing. I'm not talking about menopause, just, you know, we're growing. Mm. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, for a lot of us, and most of the women I've spoken with, it's somewhere between 37 and 40 that we kind of start transitioning. And we look at, okay, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that I truly want to do? And I believe at that point, when you're married, you're fortunate if that growth is still growing with your mate. Because sometimes I think you can grow with them. And a lot of times through our growth, you know, what we want to do, this person that we're with, our mate, is saying, well, I don't like this new person. You know, that ain't who I married. You all right. Different now, right. You know, or you, if the woman has gone through this growth spurt, she look at this and she's like, what the hell was I thinking at 25? You know, this ain't what I want no more.
Right.
You know, and then, so one or two things happen. Either, you know, the marriage implodes, you know, where, you know, you can't handle the change.
Right.
And it goes away, or you stay in there. And, you know, because some people, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be, I guess, till death. I guess it is. But really, but when you're not living, when you're not able to live who you are for real, you're dead.
You're dead, yeah.
You know, so I think when somebody need to, when you up there asking people to recite these crazy-ass vows, you know, you need to say.
And because I don't subscribe to those vows, I ask the individuals to write their own vows.
Okay.
Because you come up with your own vows that are meaningful to you, because at the end of the day, that's what you have to live by, what you speak, not by what I'm telling you to say.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and I was to build on what you just said, I think women go through changes, but they do not speak on the changes they're going through. Not just, you know, physically, but what you used to want, you don't want. And I think oftentimes when women are going through the changes, they're not communicating, this is what's taking place. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to get home and make dinner at 5:00. Now I don't want to be home. I'm enjoying my job. Or I want to go hang out with my girls. Mm-hmm. Or I want to take the, you know, it's all about communication. Because I think men, for the most part, we are the same. I mean, we don't.
Yeah, I think that's true. And our roles change. Like the woman's, you know, if you take on traditional roles, the roles change. Like if you have children,
right.
You know, the needs of the children are one thing when they're 5 and 6, but once they're 15 and 16, they don't need you. So I don't need to come home.
Hallelujah. Anymore.
I don't have to help with homework.
Right.
You know, you got that. You know, you got a kid. Drive yourself home. So we have more time.
Now, that's the kind of communication to me, and watch this, it goes back to what we said. All right, so love being patient, right? love being kind. So part of being kind that you're going to communicate the changes. You're going to communicate, hey, I know I put on some weight and, you know, I'm trying to get it off.
Why do you say weight?
I have a friend of mine. She, and I love her to death. She said something to me. She said, now, you know, she would put some weight on. And I said, why would you say that? And she was like, because it's going to happen. Are you ready for that?
And why is it going to happen?
She was letting me know, Ellis, women are going to put weight as they get older. You know,
but my mother's small, so I'm just going to stay like that.
But you know, these are things that we don't think about. Like, we don't think that our partners, their bodies are going to change. And if that be the case, can I still love them unconditionally?
It's just more of them to love.
I agree. But there's some people who that's not their expectation. Like, yeah. I have a friend of mine who has sex with his wife once a year on his birthday. I have friends of mine who have to barter to have sex with their wife, in that they have to come in and talk.
You gotta be sweet.
You gotta be sweet and nice. And then you get two or three pumps and you miss a rap. So, I mean, this is what is happening in a lot of marriages and relationships. And I ask, is that love?
Once a year, though.
Once on his birthday. I have another one who has not had sex with his wife in almost 6 years.
Wow.
I have another friend of mine that, you know, wife is losing weight. She's working out, so on and so forth. She's trying on new clothes.
She's getting her sexy back.
She's getting her sexy back, but he ain't getting no sex.
Oh, that's for the other one.
You know, so again, I mean, is this a part of the love conversation we're having? And more importantly, that causes, you know, being devalued. I had a situation happen. A friend of mine called me up. He was planning to take his wife away for the whole weekend. They had a great weekend. They was going to do woo, woo, woo. And he called. I said, yeah, how was your weekend? He said, man, it was horrible. I said, but I saw the pictures on Facebook. He's like, man, she wasn't in the mood. I said, what you mean she wasn't in the mood? Man, she just wasn't feeling it. I said, so she was acting the whole weekend? Because like, y'all had a great time.
Yeah.
And he was devastated. Because he was looking forward to them getting together, showing their love, reconnecting, and it didn't happen. It did not happen. And he was like, yo, she don't love me. So is love just intimacy, sex, or is love communication? What is love, man? And why is it hard as Chinese arithmetic? Hard as MC Ren?
Wow. I don't know. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about why love is hard as Chinese arithmetic. We'll be right back.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
And we are back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. So, why is love so hard?
Oh, gosh, because we haven't been taught love. You know, I had a conversation last night at church, and I was asking, you know, who showed you love? And it was amazing, the people who showed them love, who said showed them love was not their parents. It was always a grandmother or an aunt or, you know, someone. And so I just don't think we've been taught or seen love outside of what we see on TV. But where are we taught love? Where we're taught arithmetic or history or English? Where are we taught it? And we don't have conversations about love.
Yeah, we don't. I do agree, though. Like when you say, it's another person outside of the parent. Sometimes, you know, because the parents. I mean, I think sometimes as a young person, you're not even seeing that what the parents are giving you is love, because mm-hmm. that's not. It doesn't look like the love that we've imagined in our heads, you know, that, you know, that's a love and that's a huge commitment that parents do and that we get from our parents. We just don't see it. You know, sometimes we see these people as like, who the mm-hmm. heck are these, mm-hmm. you know, psychos that's, you know, raising us. And so grandma can afford to be, you know, be nice because she ain't raising you. You're going home.
And grandma did a poor job of raising your mama or daddy. So, of course, you learn now how to get it right.
Yeah, you're going home.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Love on you. Okay, 6 o'clock, baby, call your mama.
I had seen this piece with Adam Sandler speak about his parents. He said his mother and father led him to believe that everything he did was great and that they were constantly saying how much they loved him, how they was proud of him. And that was his foundation, that parents believed that he could walk on the moon. They told him that. And, you know, on the other hand, Terry Crews was talking about how that wasn't his experience. His love came from an abusive father and, you know, and mothers who didn't love on him the way he thought, or so he should have been loved on. So as I look at this, I began to think, like, you know, who are our love examples? Who've shown us how to love? And my mother didn't know how to love me because she wasn't shown how to love by my grandmother. Now, my grandmother, phew, man, I'm sliced bread, right? But my grandmother was horrible with her children and loving them.
Yeah, because she had to raise them.
Right.
I mean,
No, my mother raised her kids. No, just like my grandmother raised her siblings, my mother raised her siblings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's strange because my great-grandmother raised my mother, just like my grandmother pretty much raised me. But I ain't raising them nice children, but my own.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm an only child, so that's still different.
Yeah.
But you know, that happens in our community all the time. It happens in our community all the time. Like someone else is responsible for doing the loving. I'm going to discipline you, but I'm going to, you know. Maybe mom or dad can't love.
So do you think, all right, so this is going to cause some controversy.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
I'm looking out the window, and this man is walking his dog. And anyway, back, be focused, Benita. Monogamy. So, do you think we would love more if we didn't have to be monogamous? Because I may be more patient with you if I know I could go over and see Jack. You know, I got Jack over here. And then it gives me a chance to get past your rudeness and your pettiness, and I can come back over here, you know, and see you in a few days.
I grew up in a town in which it was known that men had multiple women. But it was not known that the women had multiple men. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everyone knew the man was out there doing his thing. Okay. But what I later found out that the women were out there doing their thing, sleeping with, you know, such and such. They all come together and hang out and socialize. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sleeping with so-and-so's husband. You know, I was like, oh, Miss So-and-so was doing that? Not Miss So-and-so. So,
but you know, Mr. So-and-so was doing it, and it was the norm.
It was the norm. But I think the monogamous conversation, you know, I think there are a lot of couples that I know swing now. They do a little thing. I'm a selfish cat. You know what I'm saying? I think, I don't know if monogamy is possible. I would like to think it is.
I mean, it's possible, but I think love wouldn't be as hard if we didn't have to stay.
Be monogamous. Well, okay, I'm going to say, so now, if we're talking about, you know,
monogamy. And it's not just sex, but just, you know, being able to have these multiple relationships without having to look over my shoulder to see, you know, if Bobby is coming because, you know, I'm over here with Paul.
This is what I've come to believe, and I know people want to include this in the equation. You know, with the advent of the internet and social media, you're always having side conversations. You got pornography here. You got somebody you're talking to on social media. You got some other person who is helping you occupy your time. You're not with the person you're supposed to be with. When that doesn't happen, people get upset because inherently people want to think that I'm the only one. When the truth of the matter is, you will never be the only one. We need other influences to help us, you know, get through this life. So even if I'm not having an affair.
Not the physical aspect.
Emotional affairs, intellectual affairs, spiritual affairs.
Emotional ones are dangerous. They're dangerous.
I think an intellectual affair is more dangerous than, because when you enjoy how someone thinks, you want to hear their voice. You want to be in their presence. And then you begin to like, and your feelings get involved. But for me, I'm a sapiosexual.
Yeah, that's me too.
You know, so it's like.
I like the smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can have this conversation.
Ain't a lot of smart folk out there these days. Ain't a lot of smart folk out there these days.
I think there
are. And you ain't got to have a degree or no degree with that.
No, yeah, I do that. But I think there are. I think a lot of times, though, we don't always give each other a chance to, we ain't looking at the brain often enough. I think we stop, if this person isn't everything we want, you know, y'all with those boxes.
Y'all with the boxes?
I don't have boxes. You know, I told you, I erase. I start with
I make my own boxes.
I create boxes based on. So I think people look at, you know, if they haven't checked off the physical aspects of the box, you never even know if this person is a super dope intellectual individual.
I agree with you. I agree with you. With that being said, I don't think monogamy is possible in any way, shape, or form.
You ain't trying to get a wife, are you?
Well, I mean, and I say that, you know, in terms of just being honest about, like, I have female friends that when I got married, I didn't talk to. But if I was with somebody right now, you got, you know, you, Benita, you know, Selene, no, we a package deal. You can't rock with, you know, Tracy, you know, like you may like my boys. This is my crew. And they ain't going nowhere.
You know, I dated this gal one time. And it was too long of a period that I wasted. And one of the things, I mean, like, you know, my boys, you know, Purcells and George. He would try and twist, you know, in my brain that the relationships that I have with them are not healthy relationships. You know, he would try to say, well, you know, they just want to. I was like, no, they don't. They just my friends. But it was his way to kind of isolate me from my friends. Yes, Alice, raising your hand. What?
I think you'll do that.
You what? You're guilty of doing that. You try to isolate women and separate them from the people who love them.
Not intentionally. I did not do it intentionally as you just said it. But as I listen to you, I can understand that that's a part of the control that I'm trying to let go of. Because it really comes out of fear. You don't want someone to take the person that you really love. Now, if I don't love you, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But I have been guilty of not trying to intentionally separate the person from their friends or family, but also wanting to make sure that she was loyal to me. Okay. That makes sense.
I hear you. Because, I mean, I understand
what you're saying. So I don't know. I know women who have done the same thing told me I couldn't talk to X, Y, and Z. I'm like, you crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, I don't.
That'd be crazy.
And I'm not, you know, I've had to say after this person, after I dated this person, other people, I had to kind of say what you said, you know, okay, I'm a package deals. These are my dudes, you know, these are my friends, right. And they always gonna be my friends. And, you know, if you don't like it, you know, kick rocks with them old toe shoes.
So in those relationships, is that a part of the monogamy or not part of the monogamy? I mean, it's okay, because I'm in a relationship doesn't mean I gotta be just, I can't talk to nobody else.
No, I can't think be that's friends. Unhealthy. I think that's just.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's completely unhealthy. Yeah. I mean, you need an outlet. You need to talk to other people.
Yes. Yes.
You know, other than just your mate.
So when I speak about, you know, monogamy not being possible, I'm speaking from that position that you need other people. Mm-hmm. I think you don't want the people in your business, but the more outlets you have cause you to come back home and appreciate somebody else's BS.
What you have. Right. And sometimes, you know, even though, you know, you don't want everybody in your business, but it does take a couple people who you're close enough to be able to share some things, you know, even share the ugly about us. You know, we have to acknowledge that, you know, there's some ugly in us. And we just got to say, listen, don't worry about it. I don't even know where that went. I'm in the studio dropping stuff on the
floor. You know, I remember this is someone who I was dating wanted me to talk to her friend because her and I was having problems. She said, I want you to talk to my friend. I'm like, I'm not talking to her. I'm older than her. Number one. Number two. She can't keep a man. So what's she gonna tell me? Like, you know, and I'm like, I said, I have the people I can speak to about us that I've been with for a minute. I said, but I ain't talking to her.
Yeah, and her friend would be biased, I would think, right, to her.
Right. And she was insulted I wouldn't talk to her friend. And finally I said, listen, I'm a 52-year-old man. I don't need to go talk to some woman who's 42 who ain't got my life experiences to get a clarity as to what's going on between you and I. You and I can talk this out. That's your friend, she ain't my friend. It's like, I wouldn't, you know, I just, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I hear you. And you need to, I mean, for me, I like for people to understand my background, you know, and why I make the moves or the decisions that I make.
Right.
And, you know, other than a therapist who's gonna know to ask me, you know, the questions that's going to paint that picture. You know, I don't think a layman is going to know that, you know, you don't know me. But on the other hand, there is some advantage to talking to a person who can't stand a relationship, because we know exactly what happened in all of it. And this is why I can't keep a man, because I already know what's wrong with me.
Well, you know, in our community, there's always one person, two, three, four, five people who we, you know, they're relationships experts because they cannot keep a relationship.
Yeah, you've been in a bunch of them.
But I just don't think, for me, there's no expertise you can offer me.
We have better advice than a person who's been in a 40-year relationship. One person.
That's why we're so good at what we're doing right now.
Yeah, we're experts.
We're experts. We've been going through this thing multiple times.
I mean, because I think there is some benefit to, you know, meeting different people and having that experience, because you can bring that back. I mean, a lot of the people I date, it's really for material for my book.
I understand that. And I think everybody that we meet is a part of a book that we're writing. Mm-hmm. When you learn, you know, what to do, what not to do. But what I've learned in the last, since my divorce, what I've learned is that the love that I thought that I wanted or had or was given out, it wasn't love at all. And it was in the, lack of a better word, indiscretions and mistakes that I realized what I wanted, what I needed. And now I'm at a place, I know exactly what I want, what I'm looking for. And if I don't see it, I refuse to compromise it. I refuse to, you know, I refuse to settle. I refuse to just go backwards. Because okay. I know what I need and I know what I'm looking for.
And that's a good place to be. I am, think I mentioned one time I was trying to figure that out. And, I didn't know, and I think that's right why right now I have that whiteboard for my boxes. Mm-hmm. I kind of, erase it because I like, so like when you, if you take all the friends that I have, it's like a big old bowl of potpourri. It's just so much, they're all great. They all smell good, right, but there's something unique about all of them. And like I've had people say, wow, you never dated a person like that before. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't. And that's why, because I want to, I want to know that person and why that person is the way he is. I had said one time, I was talking to somebody about that. And I was like, all right, the next person I date is going to have a college degree. Because nobody I had dated through this time had a college degree. The person I was talking to, he felt like, are you discriminating? And I was like, no. I said, it's just something different. I said, of course I'm not discriminating. I was married to a person who didn't have a college degree. And dated, a person who didn't for a significant amount of time. I just wanted, let me just see what this looks like over here. Is this going to be different?
My grandmother, bless her heart, she always would say to me, if I was, seeing somebody, she's like, does she have a doctor degree? Does she have a master's degree? How many degrees does she have? And I would say, Grams, why are you saying that?
She wanted her to be like you.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I think that mindset that she kind of instilled in me is not always the best mindset. Mm-hmm. Because you can meet some great people who don't have degrees.
Absolutely.
Now, in our community, it happens all the time. Women, it's just amazing. Women can date a dude and they can have multiple degrees. The man ain't got nothing. And they can make that thing work, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if men are able to do that and it can go as smooth.
Have you ever dated a woman who did not have a degree?
What do you mean by date?
Okay, more than one time, you were thinking in terms of future planning with said woman?
I've tried.
Okay.
I have tried to.
Okay. 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 So, now that I've dated, men with degrees as well, it ain't a lot, it ain't a difference. Because I'm pretty self-sufficient, but not for me.
For women.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty self-sufficient anyway.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't matter. I do want you to have a job, but, we can work with it.
I think love, again, if it's unconditional, it doesn't matter what degree or status you have. If you love a person, you love a person. And I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to move any relationship. But I do think that, you're allowed to date who you want to date. Somebody with a degree or not with a degree, somebody who's black or white, or whomever else. You don't really know who you want to fall in love with.
Right. So, yeah.
Well, I have friends of mine who's like, oh, I would never date a white man. I would never date a white woman. And I have dated a white woman. I've dated Latino, I've dated, the spectrum. But with that being said, I know what I prefer. And I know, especially in the times we're living in right now, the kind of woman that I would need to augment who I am and where I'm going. And at the end of the day, I want to be with someone who understands my struggle, know that I'm not perfect. And not only am I not perfect, I ain't trying to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be perfect. I want to be, true to who I am. And I want to be true to the person, that I'm in relationship with. And I'm not sure we have these kind of conversations.
Mm-hmm. So definitely, communication is key, and just, open it up in the beginning.
Good job.
Yeah, just say, I saw this this meme, and I just saw it this morning, and he was saying, you know, basically, it was like hard questions that, well, they weren't really hard for me or you, but these were like up in your face, you know, questions. And he said, ask this in the beginning. Don't waste your time. Yeah. If these things are requirements, ask that in the beginning. Yeah. You know, on my friend's show, we talk a lot about, you know, relationships and more the sexual side. And so sometimes the question has come up, like, when is it too soon to have sex? And so I say,
what Steve Harvey said,
sex is important to me. So I want to know if it's going to be good. Because if it ain't going to be good, we're going to go ahead and not do this. Because I'm not going to be stuck with this. That's real. I ain't gonna be stuck with this for 20 more years. We're gonna fist bump. We're gonna be friends. We're gonna go out for drinks, occasional dinner. But no, this ain't gonna be what we do.
What I've learned, having been married, is that sex is important as I thought it was. With a lot of married people, it's not as, you know, well, I'm gonna be, I think once women get married, it's like sex goes out the window. It's like it's not as important. Like when you're dating, it's very important.
Because so, we're trying to hook you.
Right.
And then once we marry you, it's out the window, man.
And you know, everything else falls out by the wayside. I think that we have sex too soon. I think we move to be intimate too soon before we know a person. I think we need to take our time and make sure this person is worthy of me sharing myself with.
Okay, and then now you know, okay? And then you're worthy. And then you go to the bedroom. It's dry as toast. What am I going to do now?
You got to bring some jelly. You got to bring some butter, some honey to the bedroom.
I'm diabetic. I can't eat no damn jelly. You know what I'm
saying? I mean, you got to bring some condiments if the toast is dry.
But, again,
it goes back to the communication piece. And if we're not communicating about what we prefer, it you know, just not in a sexual relationship, but also just who I want to be with. What's wrong with having this kind of conversation?
Nothing. We should definitely have the conversation.
I remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I was dating someone, and she told me exactly what she wanted to do. And could I do it? I was like, yeah. And she says, well, I need to know right now.
But didn't you appreciate that, though? I mean, well, you may not have 30 years ago, but I bet you if somebody comes to you today.
It blew me away that she did that. It blew me away. And matter of fact, it was very intimidating. Very intimidating.
I can see it.
You know, she just wanted sex. That was it.
That's what that meme was about. It was like, if you just want this to be a sexual relationship, say that. And I agree with that. I had a friend and I asked, you know, it's like, okay, what is this? You know, what is this to you? Do you just want this to be sex, or are we looking towards a relationship? Right. You know, because then I'm going to know how I'm going to behave or what happens next. But we need to take this break. So when we come back, we're going to finish up this conversation. So we'll be right back.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
And we are back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, talking about what is love? Why is love so hard? Just finished talking about monogamy, and I put my business out there, but I don't care. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth. So what you over there looking at? What you finding?
Well, I'm thinking about this whole, you know, so does love cover infidelity? Does love cover, I mean, is love, because to me, this, and I could be wrong, if someone is unfaithful, is that reasons to discontinue a relationship? With me, it's not.
Yeah, it's not with me. I think it's more about what your expectations are. Because as I mentioned, when I gave the example about the keeping me safe, if my requirement is to keep me safe and you have sex, I'm not mad. I'm not gonna probably break up because of that. I'm mad because
you need to keep me safe.
Yeah, I gotta take these pills.
So what if, say, the guy comes and says, "Hey, I want to have an affair. I want to sleep with, you know, Mary Jo up the street."
Okay.
You cool with that?
Take a condom. Yes. Take a condom. But the thing, a lot of men aren't going to be cool with me saying, like, some people are okay with, the men ain't going to be cool with me saying, yeah, go ahead with Mary Jo, but send her husband Peter down here. I've been looking at him, you know. I've been checking Peter out. You know.
I saw somewhere where this man was like, "Hey, I'm gonna move with Melissa in here, you know, because Melissa can help with these bills. You cool with that?" And she was like, "Yeah. And by the way, I'm gonna move Tyrone in here.
Yeah,
because Tyrone can help out." And he was like, "Who's Tyrone?"
Exactly. You know, I had a person who, you know, asked one time about a threesome, and so I said, "Can I pick them?" You know. Was it just supposed to be assumed that it was going to be another woman?
Well, see now, I will say this again. These are the conversations that need to be had if we're talking about loving and being with somebody. Like, what do you want to do? I mean, you can't just spring it on me, you know? I mean, well, you know what the bottom line is? We're not honest in our relationships.
That's true.
We're not honest. We're all going with some secrets. Like, I remember one lady said to me, "Oh, I would never, I would never leave you. I don't care what you did." So I had an affair. Oh, well, we was in college. I got drunk one night and some things happened.
Okay.
Came back and told her the next day. She was mad. "I can't believe you did that." I said, "You told me you wanted to break up with me. As long as I was honest, I just came back and told you what I did. You know, I'm sorry. It would never happen again. But we broke up. She broke up with me." I'm like, "Man, your love was fake from the jump."
Yeah, but I think it's that there are things that none of us want to know. You know, I want to know that you loving me, you keeping me safe, you got me covered or whatever. You covering all that, I want to know the other stuff. And I don't expect you to want to know.
Some things I want to know.
Well, and I got this thing. 3 questions. So you better word them correctly. Because that's all I'm answering is 3.
3 questions.
You got 3 questions. So when you start asking, you got 3. So word them correctly and make sure this is... Because I'm not going to lie to you because I'm too forgetful. It's hard enough to keep up with what happened
that's
for real.
That's real.
You know, yeah. So I'm going to forget. So yeah. If I lie to you, you come back and ask me in 3 weeks. I don't know what I told you.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm in the mindset now, no one's important enough for me to lie to.
Yeah.
But if you want the truth, I'm going to give it to you. Now, and the truth of the matter is, with a lot of my friends, I know all the bodies are lying. I know where they put the bodies. They tell me everything. So, and I'm going to be loyal and keeping quiet about that. So we don't have to know everything, but I think there's certain things that, you know, if you can't handle an affair, then say that. If you can't handle being lied to, then say that. If you can't handle, you know, what else happened in relationships? Miscommunicating, you need to say that. Whatever you can't handle needs to be put on the table from jump.
I think I want, the more we talk, I ain't never getting married. I don't want none of this.
I can't see it.
I don't want none of this.
Yeah. I don't want none of this.
I don't want none of this.
You don't want none of this.
None of
it. Yeah.
Yep.
Some days I do, some days I don't. But I think more than anything, you know, when you find someone that you can ride with, you know, my favorite song by, you know, is Ride With Me. You know, it's if you find someone who can ride with you, then, you know, y'all can ride anywhere.
Yeah. Well.
You know, my aunt and uncle, they were together for 27 years. And they got married after 27 years. Within 4 years, he died. And so I was like, yo, auntie, why you wait so long? And she was like, I was going to keep that dude alive, get that pension.
Wow.
So she's like, I was going to hang in there. She hung in there for 27 years. Showing up, they got married on my back porch. And a few years later, he died.
Wow.
But in between that time, she was with, you know, she always had a little something on the side.
Okay.
More than a little something.
She needs to teach our class.
You know, but you know, the thing was, again, it was, everyone knew. She was honest about it, you know. Yeah. He knew.
Yeah, and so she was making, she was doing what she needed to do.
Yeah.
To make him good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to be her when I grow up.
You may be her right now.
Well, we got to wrap up our show. So if you have questions for us, because we want to start answering people's questions since we're so good at this relationship thing. So hit us up via email at lovewinswithellisandbonita@gmail.com. Or we have our Facebook page, Love Wins with Ellis and Bonita. Hit us up there. And like our page if you haven't, because we got some things we've been talking about, some things that we have coming up, some good conversations that you guys can be a part of. And at some point, we're going to be taking this thing live. So we do appreciate you joining us and listening every week. Share our podcast with your friends. Thank you to Scotty Reed at the Black Talk Radio Network and to Master P on Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music Radio, who does a smashing job of producing our show. Tune in. They have a stream on Live 365, so you can listen to music 24/7, 365, and every other week they drop a podcast. So, again, I appreciate you, and until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Peace and blessings, everyone.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Bonita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at lovewinswithellisandbonita@gmail.com.